And the second principle that will powerfully strengthen your family and your business is to communicate positively. Isn't this so important? Have open, honest, frequent communication. It prevents problems. So many times, just saying it in a way that doesn't create an adversarial relationship will make all the difference in the world. We need to give frequent feedback often so people are not blindsided when they're not promoted, when they're maybe overlooked. You know, in the absence of feedback, that's what causes people to be out of sync with others in any organization. Here's some ideas about how to communicate positively in ways that will strengthen every relationship in your life circle. First, use I messages. This is how it works. You start with the word I. You just own the feeling. You know, that's just so powerful to just say, you know what, I'm frustrated, I'm disappointed, I am annoyed, whatever it is you really are, because of course we know that stuffed feelings don't die. They come out later and manifest themselves as resentment or other feelings that just aren't good to have become a part of you. So I am, and then fill in the blank, whatever it is you're honestly feeling. Then you add what you're thinking. You know what? I'm frustrated because so many times we've decided that we're going to eat dinner as a family or in a business situation. I'm frustrated because we were supposed to have this report done and it's not done. Explain the situation without blaming, without accusing. Then the third part is the magic. You first say I and explain how you're feeling honestly. You second, explain the situation as you see it, without accusing, without blaming again. And the third is, how can I be part of the solution? What can I do to help? Here's another example, and this would be maybe to a spouse. I'm feeling upset when you're late. We all agreed to be home for dinner, have dinner as a family at 6:30 each night. What can I do to be part of the solution? How can I help? Another situation where you talk maybe to your child. I feel sad when you disobey, honey, because you helped make our family rules and you know better. You know, so many times it's not always what is said, but how it's said. The tone of voice we use that makes all the difference in the world, that creates happiness or unhappiness. Before we speak, it would do us well to remember the golden rule and just speak in a way that we'd like to be spoken to. You know, the right way is to say, honey, I've noticed that sometimes, or you could say it at work, I've noticed that sometimes, instead of you always, you never, absolutes are troublemakers. And you'd say something like, I feel upset, instead of saying, you make me angry. Because, of course, we know that others don't make us angry. We can choose to be in control of our emotions. Or another right way to speak is to say something like, help me understand what you're thinking. Instead of accusing, why do you see the difference? How we say things makes such a huge difference. At first, using these ideas, speaking in a way that doesn't always come naturally because we weren't raised that way listening to this kind of talk, most of us, it's going to be challenging. You know, my children were little when I started to say things like, it's just like you to obey the first time. You're such an obedient little boy. But many people make a change to speak more positively when their children are older, when their children are grown. And it is awkward at first for everyone. But as you continue speaking that way, it will become more natural, I promise, and everyone will enjoy the rewards. You know, the difficulty of changing the way we do things reminds me of that old story about the Easter ham. Every year, a family carefully chose a large ham for their holiday dinner, but the mother always cut off the end before she baked it. One year, the daughter hosted the meal, and her new husband asked why she cut the end off the ham before she cooked it. Well, that's the way my mother always did it, she said. I don't know why either, her mother replied when they asked her, but that's the way my mother always did it. Well, at this point, everybody was curious enough to call the grandmother and ask why she cut the end off the ham before baking it. Simple, she responded. I never had a baking pan big enough to hold the whole ham. You know, we could say that communication is a two-way street with lots of traffic signs and billboards. To really communicate, we have to be able to read the signs as we drive and watch for oncoming traffic. Let's view those two thoughts from three angles. First, communication is a two-way street. Two or more people need to participate for real communication to exist. If we as parents are the only ones talking, our children aren't listening, or we as employers are the only one talking and the employees aren't listening, we're not communicating. There's a saying that says, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. We need to be sure our children know, our employees know, our coworkers know, without a doubt, that we care for them, that we truly care about their well-being. Then, with confidence in that good, caring, loving feeling and concern for them, usually these people will more readily listen to us. Second, I believe that as we communicate with our children, they give us lots of signs and billboards, everybody does, to both direct us and distract us. What our children say doesn't always reflect their honest, heartfelt feelings. As parents, we need to be constantly reading the signs of body language, the expressions in their faces, their tones of voice. And this goes, of course, with our businesses, our people at work, too. Sometimes we need to listen between the lines and try to hear what they're really saying. Try to understand how they're honestly feeling. You know, sometimes the most important thing in communication is to hear what isn't being said. Don't you agree? Third, we'll have to watch for oncoming traffic. Now, that could mean that as we talk to anyone, we should expect occasional negative or hurtful words. Oncoming traffic, which they don't really mean, which they unintentionally communicate badly. Again, we have choices. Three wrong ways we could react to unkind words are to be offended, to get even by retaliating, or to stop talking. We have the responsibility to exemplify productive behavior. When the oncoming traffic is heavy and harmful, we should choose to use a communication skill that will prevent a collision and steer the conversation onto smoother roads. A key to communicating well is to try to remember what it was like to be a younger person or to be new in a job, whatever that person's life experiences are that they're going through right now. Try to be them. Whether you're talking to somebody 3, 13, 23, or 93, try to be that age in your imagination while you're communicating. Try to walk a mile in their shoes. Think about being them with their life experiences, their needs and desires. Then you'll be able to use the understanding from that perspective and add it to the wisdom of your adulthood. The result will be a wonderful place from which you can communicate with empathy and discernment. One last thought on positive communication. Effective, positive communication is the royal road to a good relationship with everyone, regardless of their age. Speaking of families, a father of a large family I knew once shared the secret that the golden hours with his teenagers were after midnight. He didn't mean this literally, but he was suggesting that the late hours are often best for letting down your hair and getting close to your youngster. This is when the little one's asleep, the TV's off, the phone stopped ringing, and the house visitors have left. The late-hour fatigue factor also tends to open the kids up, and you too. Their defenses are down. It's a time to share. Open up your heart. Listen sympathetically. Most teenagers in our current culture are under a lot of stress. A lot of them are hurting, bruised. They have a lot of unanswered questions, problems, temptations. If you're there, uncritical, not the boss or the first sergeant as earlier in the day, they may just open up. You might, out of your experience, give them an idea that might solve a tough problem or comfort the wounded ego of a rejected child who earlier in the day suffered a disastrous disappointment or a miserable put-down that rankled him deep inside. You know, I find that a non-communicative, morose youngster suddenly wants to talk in the evening hours. It's a rare occasion, and I let all other things go. I cancel appointments. I'm late to something if it happens during the day because I know they need me right then. Later may never come. It pays off again and again.